morning we announced our topic for study the next couple of weeks will be the subject of trust. This morning from Psalm 119, we studied four things that help to prove or verify our trust in God. We learned a little bit about the importance of trusting the Heavenly Father, both from the lesson and from the songs that we sang this morning, and tonight is the same. You notice all of the songs that we've sung have been dedicated to instructing us on the subject of trusting in the Lord. Our topic this evening is along the same lines and could, I suppose, best be stated as when to trust Him. We've established the fact that we must trust in the Lord, and we need to know when to do that. It's not good enough to say, just trust Him all the time, because that actually would be a good answer. But there are some specific things that I'd like for us to look at this evening. This morning, we also learned on the subject of trust that trusting God involves believing in that which we cannot see and sometimes may not even understand. We'll get past our lesson text in just a minute. We also noted this morning that trusting God requires us to literally turn our backs on human nature, because it's not human nature. It's not in accordance with human nature to give up the control and trust someone that we cannot see, an entity that we really have nothing so far as knowledge or firsthand experience with, other than that which is of a spiritual nature and the knowledge that comes from His Word. The human tendency is to be afraid of everything that is spiritual and to want to hold on very tightly to the matter of control. And of course, we said this morning in the third place that trusting God means coming to terms with the fact that we're not in control. The matter of trusting God is giving control of our lives to Him. This evening we're going to look at that lesson text that I mistakenly flashed just a second or two on the screen a few minutes ago. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, where Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Now, if I were to ask each one of us this evening individually about our trust in God, I would think that all of us would say without hesitation that we do trust God, that we rely heavily upon God, that our trust is in Him. But at the same time, the reality is, and as we all know, there are some times in our lives, because of certain situations and circumstances, where trusting is not just a little simple thing. It's something that falls into that category of much easier said than done. Sometimes we're burdened down with cares and responsibilities. Those things that are part and lot to living and maintaining our lives here on this earth, many of those things are good, wholesome things that we're responsible for. Some of them we've loaded ourselves up a little heavily with. But we all have responsibilities. And sometimes the responsibilities can create a tremendous load or burden on us. And the temptation often is to forget that we have a Heavenly Father that we can trust to assist us in difficult times. Sometimes our way is very difficult. Sometimes because of things that happen in our lives, because of certain circumstances, many of which we have no control over, some things we bring upon ourselves, but many things we do not. our way is very difficult. There are times in our lives when we cannot see ahead clearly. We do not know for sure what's over the hill or around the corner, so to speak. And it may very well be that from time to time we feel very much alone in our struggles. The purpose of our lesson this evening is to examine some of those times, to look very carefully at some of the difficulties that we have from time to time, and to do so in a way that we perhaps may be encouraged to keep our trust in the Lord, to see and recognize God as the only source of true and complete help, and thereby to better understand and to better utilize His assistance with our difficulties. When do we trust Him? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that when the way is steep and dangerous, we must trust Him. Sometimes life is really, really tough. It may sometimes seem that the way is so steep and so treacherous that there just is absolutely no way that we'll really survive. In a lighthearted effort to diminish some of our troubles by laughing at them, someone has written down some pointers on how we can know if it's going to be a rotten day. Number one, they said, if you wake up face down on the pavement, that's a pretty good indication that it's going to be a bad day. If your birthday cake collapses under the weight of all the candles, it's not going to get any better. If you turn on the news and they're showing emergency evacuation routes out of the city, it's probably going to be a bad day. If you go into work and your boss tells you not to bother with taking off your hat and coat, it's not going to be a good day. The bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. It's going to be a bad day. Your twin sister forgot your birthday. Number seven, you call your answering service to get your messages and they tell you it's none of your business. It's not going to be a good day. You know, I think in some way we can probably relate to some of the things on that list, at least in a comical way. But the reality is, and as Job said in Job 14 verse 1, man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. If you have it in your mind that you're going to be able to somehow live your life on this earth without experiencing any trouble, no difficulties, no problems, I'm afraid you're in for a shock. Because life, as we say, is real. In fact, I would invite you to go back with me to the first chapter of the book that bears Job's name and the one that tells his story. Begin reading at about verse 13 where it says, "Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" While he was still speaking, another came and said, "The fire of God fell down from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." If there ever was a bad day, that was a bad day. And we might just turn our imaginations loose and think about all of the things that maybe Job would say and how he would blame God or blame this or blame that, how he would become so frustrated and dissatisfied. Then we'd look down to verses 20 to 22 where it tells us Job's response. Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And verse 22 says, "Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." The fascinating story of Job that begins as a horrific story of tragedy upon tragedy, it concludes with a man receiving God's blessings. The overall burden of the book seems to be telling us that in every life there is going to be difficulty and tribulation and trouble, and so much of it we do not understand why. It's not necessarily because we have done some particular thing and God is cursing us and punishing us for that particular thing. Into the lives of good people, bad things often come. The overwhelming message of the book of Job is when the way is steep and dangerous and troubles and problems mount, trust Him. I'm very sure that one of the reasons, or maybe the main reason, why the Bible spends so much time and space reiterating the fact that God is a strong rock, a firm defense, a sure and safe refuge of help for the weak, is because we are weak. Mentally and morally, we need help. We need the help that only the Heavenly Father can provide. Listen again to the words of the prophet Nahum that we read this morning. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him." The psalmist said in Psalm 62 verse 8, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." When the way is steep and dangerous, trust Him. Number two, when the road is long and tiresome, trust Him. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 we read, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Sometimes it may seem that the road is just too long. The difficulties seem that they will never end. When we get one problem solved, there are two more there waiting for us to deal with. The level of our exhaustion seems to have reached an all-time high, and then every day it goes higher and higher. We wonder, how long can it keep going? How long can this go on? Notice what Isaiah says in chapter 40 of his prophecy, beginning with verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. David said in Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. Even though it seems that we're going to be completely worn away with the long and tiresome road, if we'll seek the Lord and keep our trust in Him. And as we said this morning, if we will wait on Jehovah, He will reward our efforts. When the road is long and tiresome, trust Him. When the path is dark and uncertain, we must trust Him. There are times when the path that we must travel becomes very dark and obscure. We cannot see. We travel with a certain degree of uncertainty, and fear often grips our lives because of those things that we do not understand and the things that we cannot predict, and yet we know that those things are there, we just don't know where. This is not to say that God has left us to blunder around in the dark, as it were, without any guidance or direction from Him. But the end of every situation is not always abundantly clear, especially at the very beginning, and we must keep pressing on in faith, depending on the Father for both direction and protection. David said in Psalm 56, verse 3, when I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 reminds us that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. There are times when we will not be able to see clearly those things that are up ahead. That doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. It means that we need to rest more heavily upon His protection, His care. It's up to us to be familiar enough with the guiding principles of His Word so that even in times of uncertainty and fear, so far as our destination is concerned, we can know by His Word that we're taking the right steps. When the path is dark and uncertain, trust Him. And then number four, when the way is lonely, trust Him. Perhaps the loneliness in life has come about as the result of a death of a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a child. Perhaps it seems that nobody really knows how we feel. Maybe it feels like nobody understands, or sometimes it may even seem that nobody cares. Perhaps we sometimes feel that we're all alone. And there's no one there with us. David experienced a time like that. In Psalm 142, Verse 4, he said, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Chuck Swindoll, in one of his lessons, tells about an ad that was run in a Kansas newspaper. The ad said, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. He gave a phone number. Well, it sounds a little bit like a gimmick, but it wasn't. In fact, before long, that fellow was taking up to 20 telephone calls a day because the pain of loneliness for a lot of people is such that many of them were willing to try anything for a half an hour of companionship. That ought to call our attention to a couple of things. One, if we're lonely, God cares. But number two, and perhaps even as important as that, those of us who have the ability have also the responsibility to look around at those who perhaps may be lonely and to share some time with them, to let them know that we care, let them know that we love them and appreciate them. The song says, "I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, 'My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just take your cross and follow close to me.'" When the way is lonely, trust Him. In Psalm 37, verses 5 through 7, David challenges us with these words. He says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." When do we trust Him? Well, we should always trust Him. But there are some particular times that may be in our lives that we should especially take comfort in the fact that our Heavenly Father is waiting for us to trust Him.